Tonight's scripture reading is from 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10. Or because of these surprisingly great revelations, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, we ask that you would be with us in a very special way as we share your word together. One more time, we need you to fill up our words with your word, that we might hear your voice, that we might see your glory, that we might be transformed by your love and your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was spending some time today, as I'm sure most of you were, thinking about the anniversary of September 11th and sort of reliving a little bit some of that day, where I was, what was going on, thanking God for his protection for us, praying for people even still, all these 13 years later, who are still grieving their loved ones that they lost. As I was in the middle of doing all that, I had this really weird moment when I realized that about 3.5 weeks after September 11th is when I lost my vision. And back in the very beginning of October of 2001, and what started out to be a week of having no vision while they repaired my left retina — my right retina was already shot — but while they repaired my left retina and I waited for the gas they used to hold it in place to dissipate and I was going to get my vision again, that 1 week turned into 2 weeks, turned into a detached retina again, turned into more surgery. And as what I thought was going to be a week of darkness began to turn into weeks of darkness, I clung to the verses that Tom just read for you. They were life to me in that time of darkness. And as a matter of fact, I think the first time I ever preached here on a Sunday, I think I preached from this passage. And lately, I've just had this draw to come back to these words again. They keep pulling me in. And I thought, how interesting, on this anniversary, very close to my anniversary, my 13 years of blindness, does this verse, these verses, come alive for me again. Paul starts out this chapter 12 with telling us this very unusual story. Bible scholars believe speaking of himself in the third person as he talks about a man who 14 years before had been caught up into the third heaven and had seen these amazingly wonderful things, things that were too wonderful even for words, to have this amazing experience. He said, whether it was in the body or in the spirit, I don't really know. And then he goes on and he says, because of these surpassing revelations, because of the wonderful things that I've experienced, to keep me humble, I was given this thorn in the flesh, this messenger from Satan. We don't know what that was. Could have been a physical ailment for Paul. It could have been some other sort of a struggle he had. We do know that Paul struggled with his eyesight later on in his life. At one point in a letter, he says, "I wrote this with my own hand. Look how large the letters are." So we don't know. But he had this thorn in his flesh. And Paul, who time and time again is an example to us how to live our lives, does this. He prays. Three times, he says, he pleads, he earnestly prays, not just a little, "Hey God, if you get a minute, heal me," but a fervent prayer from a faith-filled heart, asking God to take away whatever this was that was in his way. He kept on. He didn't just pray once. He kept on. He kept on until he heard an answer. But it wasn't the answer he wanted. It wasn't God saying, all right, let me take that away from you, Paul, because you have great faith. It was this. He heard God say to him, my grace is sufficient. It's enough. The New Living Translation says, my grace is all you need. Because my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul says, therefore, I'll gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses so the power of Christ may rest on me. It's sort of a crazy thought when you break it down. When God says, I'm enough. I'm enough for whatever you're facing. You know, any of us who have struggled with a prayer that we don't feel like God has answered, or struggling with the fact that God is not answering of the fervent prayer of our heart the way we want to, we can take great comfort in the fact that Paul had the same experience. Paul, as gifted, as loved by God, as used by God, a powerful apostle as he was, did not have any kind of inside track with God, not get better answers than anybody else did, and still had times, even with these amazing revelations, even with the experience he had with knowing God, even with the incredible theology that God kind of rolled out for him, he still didn't always understand the way God works. I don't know about you, but that's the same place I wind up in sometimes. No matter how much I love God, no matter how much I listen to him through his word, no matter how long I pray, no matter how many years I've worshiped him, I still don't always understand why he does what he does. I still have fervent prayers of my heart that I believe with all my heart I'm praying in God's will, that the answer looks very different. And yet this answer to Paul is an amazing answer. It's a better answer, if you could believe it, than him just taking the thorn away. Because it reminds Paul, I'm enough for you. You are not going to be in any situation. You are not going to face any mountain or any disease or any hurdle in life that I am not going to be enough for. That my grace isn't going to be with you. And then this crazy, crazy thought, which doesn't even make sense to our human minds. He says, because my power, the power of God is made perfect in weakness. The power of God is made perfect in weakness. Not the power of God is made perfect in great Bible knowledge. Not the power of God is made perfect with gifted preaching. Not the power of God is made perfect in people who are running around trying to do everything they can to earn God's favor, to fill up their chart with stars. My power, God says, is made perfect in weakness. And when we think about that, we know it to be true. Because our eyes, when we think of God's grace, when we think of God's power, immediately go to the cross. That wooden tree on a hill called Calvary where Jesus gave his life. Where the power of God was made perfect in the weakness of the human man, Jesus Christ. In his broken body, in his poured out blood. God's greatest work was done. We're told again and again in the scriptures that Jesus could have called down 10,000 angels to take him off that cross. He could have exhibited the power that his Father had given him. God incarnate, Emmanuel, God fleshed out for us. And yet he chose instead the weakness, the foolishness of that despicable cross, that instrument of torture. Years and years ago, Amy Grant sang a beautiful song that I believe Michael Card wrote called El Shaddai, which means God Almighty. And the second verse of that song says, through the years, you've made it clear that the time of Christ was near. Though the people failed to see what Messiah ought to be, though your word contained the plan they just could not understand, your most awesome work was done through the frailty of your Son. God Almighty, God All-Powerful, God Victorious in a broken body, in the Son of God offering his life in exchange for mine, in exchange for yours. So we shouldn't be surprised that this God whose thoughts are so far from our thoughts, this God whose ways are not our ways, would somehow make his power perfect in our weakness. It goes against what our society tells us, that we want to be strong and we want to be capable and we want to be independent. It's why I believe we put a church face on, because we don't really want anybody to see through our pretenses. We don't really want anybody to get a glimpse into this crazy combination of overinflated ego and bad self-esteem that each one of us is. We don't want the people around us to see our weaknesses. We like to tuck them away. We want to hide them. And yet Paul says, therefore, I'll boast all the more gladly in my weakness. I'm going to rejoice in it. I'm going to glory in it, in weakness, in persecution, in hardship, in trouble, because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. It's something Paul experienced in his life. It's something that I've experienced in my life. I'm sure it's something you've experienced in your life. And yet we continue to fight against it. That the moment we realize that we're helpless, the moment we've run out of our own natural resources, the moment we realize that the mountain's too high, the river's too deep, the road is too dark, we're in the best place we could ever be. Barb has a friend that she introduced me to named Dina, who says this, and I love it. She says, I can't, but I belong to the one who can. She's got it right. The power of God is made perfect in weakness. And one of the greatest gifts God can give us sometimes is to be so desperate for him that he's our only hope. That we have nothing else to cling on to but him. And we see him move. I have seen it again and again in my blindness. And it makes me thankful for these 13 years of not being able to see. Even when I walk into doors and trip over things and get turned and twisted around and I'm unable to read my own mail, and I fight against the frustration of that, I know that in my weakness, in my not being able, God has shown himself to be more than able. I don't know what your life looks like. I don't know what sort of things you struggle with. Big things, small things, things you've talked about, things that you're not even comfortable talking about yet. This answer isn't an answer that's just for Paul. This answer is for each one of us. God says no matter what you're going through, no matter what the answers to your prayers look like, no matter even if you think I've stopped paying attention to you, this is a steadfast truth. My grace is enough. I am all you need. look at me, trust me. Allow yourself to be weak so that my power, the power of Christ, can rest on you. I believe this doesn't just apply to the struggles in our life. This doesn't just apply to the thorn in the flesh, and we each have one. It might look different, but we each have a struggle. But I think it applies too to the way we go about life. Again, we're all about self-esteem. We're all about I can. We're all about being self-sufficient and independent and capable. And yet I'm finding out in my own life, when I'm looking at starting a new venture or a new job, or I'm thinking about saying yes to a call that God has on me, maybe even something in the church that needs to be done, when I think, oh, I got that one, no problem, I'm usually in a really bad place. But when I go, God, you know what? That job's a little bit bigger than I am. I'm not really sure I'm qualified to do that. Then I'm in the best place I could ever be. Because then I don't count on my own limited competence or my own human giftedness. But then I am completely dependent on the incredible resources of God. How much better a job I do when I leave room for God to step in and work things out. I get in trouble when I want to micromanage. I get in trouble when I think I know all the right answers. I get into trouble when I'm saying to God, hey, how about we do it my way? But when I'm not sure I'm enough, when I'm not sure I can make it, when I don't think I'm smart enough or quick enough or talented enough to do it, then I leave room for God and for his grace that is more than enough. That is all I need. You know, in 2 weeks, we're going to celebrate 6 weeks, 6 years, excuse me, of our gathering together to worship on Thursday night. 6 years. Can you believe that? It means we've gathered in this room like 300 times to worship God together. How amazing is that? And I remember when Scott first approached me about doing a midweek service here, I said to Tom, okay, I got like 2 messages. I think the job's too big for us. And yet every week, week after week, when I have to come before you and ask God to speak something into your lives, I have to be totally dependent on him. I have to remember that there's no great eloquence in this body that is going to be able to share Jesus. There's nothing amazing about me that's going to be able to see lives transformed and people drawn closer to God. And so this 6 years has been an amazing lesson for me in learning to be desperate for God, in learning to be confident in his ability, not in my ability. What an awesome ride it's been. So even though I still don't love weakness, and even though I'm very tempted to run away from trouble and persecution is something I don't even like to think about, I can understand in some small limited way why Paul says, I'm going to boast in my weakness. I'm going to delight in not being enough. Because when I do that, the power of God rests on me. And so that even when I'm weak, even when I'm falling apart, even when I'm tripping over myself, I'm strong because his grace is strong in me. Again, I don't know what is going on in your life, what you're facing, what you're struggling with, what fervent prayer you're asking again and again for God's answer for. I don't know what dream, what call of God maybe you are wrestling with right now. Maybe something that you feel like you'd love to do, but you are just not sure you're qualified. You're just not sure the job isn't a little too big for you. And I invite you tonight to take those struggles, to take those unanswered prayers, to take those questions, those calls, those dreams, and let's invite God, who is just what we need, the only thing we need, into them, into our lives. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, you continue to astound us because your logic is so different than the logic of our human nature. Lord, while we strive so hard to look like we've got it all together, to hide our faults, to hope that nobody sees them, to put on our very best face, you invite us to strip all that nonsense away and to stand before you just as we are, broken, fragile, human. And you remind us that your grace is enough. So God, tonight we lift up. We lift up our fervent prayers, the situations that we're longing to see you move in. We lift up to you our worries, our stresses. We lift up to you the dreams, the call you put on our lives, the hopes you plant in our heart, God. And we ask that you would be enough for us, that your power would be made perfect in our weakness, God. We ask as well, Lord, that you would make us a safe place for one another to share our weaknesses and our struggles, to admit we don't have it all together, to show our broken places, Lord, that you might come in and transform us. We offer you all that we are tonight, God, and we ask just for the faith to believe in all that you are. In Jesus' name, amen.